And action. Action, Jesse. That's your cue.
Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Ty. We bring you habits of successful people. And today we're talking about
downsizing.
Downsizing. Activate. The coffee this morning is getting, like, it's got the film on my mouth. I'm having a hard time talking.
What are you talking about?
I have cream in my coffee now.
You do.
We used to be black coffee drinkers.
You were never a black coffee drinker.
Yeah, for years I was.
What?
Yeah, you don't know anything about me. You never listen. You should probably pay more attention when I'm talking.
That's fair.
But yeah, black coffee drinkers forever. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I start putting heavy cream, not the regular cream,
the heavy
mm-hmm. cream, the one that's almost butter, in my coffee. And it puts a film on my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else have that?
I'm pretty sure everybody, because it's heavy cream.
But it's delicious.
It's like if you ate a stick of butter and you're like, I have a butter film on my mouth.
Well, I want to eat Häagen-Dazs coffee ice cream all day long, but it's inappropriate for me to be walking around the office with my Häagen-Dazs cup mm-hmm. at the water cooler mm-hmm. saying, how was everybody's weekend? Little spoonfuls of ice cream coming in. Everybody's going to say, you got a problem. But if I put it in my coffee, they just say,
totally fine.
He's a productive fellow.
Mm-hmm. Lots of coffee.
Good job. All right. Well, welcome everybody. We are talking about downsizing today.
Yes, we are.
Just everybody sell your big stuff. Buy small stuff. Houses, tiny cars, little shoes. It doesn't matter. You downsize those things.
Do you want to know how this came to be?
I do.
So I was running with our dogs, and running is a very loose term when I'm... It was more of a walk run.
You were corralling wild beasts. Yeah. And they were pulling you.
They were pulling me everywhere.
Yeah.
And I glance over to the other side of the road.
Uh-huh.
And on the other side is this beautiful woman with perfect athletic wear, like expensive, you know, like the Lululemon kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
She has perfect sunglasses. She has like this little head wrap thing with her ponytail that for some reason her hair is still like curly.
Uh-huh. So like she did her hair and then put it in a ponytail.
Yeah. So it still looks amazing. And then she has this beautiful cream golden retriever, the exact same color as our golden retriever.
Uh-huh. But probably doesn't shed.
Oh, no.
Or eat the kids' toys.
And it had like the little feather on the back. Uh-huh. The hair was, both of their hair was glistening.
And they're just jogging. No sweat.
No sweat and no pulling, no like barking and other things. And literally our dogs were like, like, and I was all over, my hair is to the side, I have a rip in my yoga pants.
And they probably live on the big house on the hill.
And I was like, wow, there's a real difference here.
Yeah, there's a marked difference. So I don't notice that neighbor at all.
So you should.
I know. But so that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, there's just this glamour, the big things, all the things that we think of successful people.
Right.
And then why we want you or think it's a good idea to do this successfully to downsize.
Yeah. So that person, you think they live in the big house with all the glass windows and everything's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But all the glass windows need to be cleaned every 30 seconds because birds poop on them and windstorms come bring dirt on it. And mm-hmm. And then your next door neighbor comes and builds a house that's 6 inches taller than yours. And you say, my house isn't the biggest house anymore. And you're upset and you never talk to your family and you're not having, you know, good conversations. So What are we really doing?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. It's all of these things where I wanted to go in because, I mean, we have downsized.
We downsized and it's been rough.
It has been. And I didn't understand
our egos.
Was, yeah. It's, rough it's on all our egos. So I didn't understand the mechanisms at play, and I don't think you did either. Like, we didn't do it right.
Right.
And so I was looking at it, wanting to look at how would have we done this right?
Okay.
And how to even remedy it now.
So if you're stretching yourself, you're buying the bigger houses and the nicer cars
mm-hmm.
and all the bigger things, and you're not happier,
mm-hmm.
that's probably legitimate.
Yeah.
So downsizing can bring you happiness, but there are some pitfalls to it.
Yeah, some actual brain mechanisms. So that's why we're going to go into that so that you do this successfully.
Okay, I like it. Let's do a quick history segment. We'll get into the brain stuff. We'll talk about this coffee we're drinking.
Yeah, that you're actually okay
pretty
with.
Pretty good, and it's flavored.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll do an action plan so when you guys are ready to downsize, you can do it successfully.
This day in history.
So you're talking about downsizing today.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about upsizing. Why say, let's buy smaller houses that are stupider when we can buy big houses that are bigger? That's what I'm going to talk about. The top 10, 10 of the biggest houses in the world to aspire to.
Oh.
Our house, like 1,000 square feet. tiny little house.
Right, just a tiny guy.
We're going for the number one. And I'm telling you, ready? The first one, Villa Leopolda in France. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name,
but it's
in the southern part of France, where the weather's perfect and there's oceans and everybody owns
everywhere.
A yacht. Yeah, you're drinking wine. This is the French Riviera. We're talking expensive.
Yeah.
The origins date back to the region that the King Leopold II of Belgium gifted this estate to his mistress, Blanche Zilla Josephine Delacroix. I got that name right.
Look at that.
Look at me. I've been practicing. Though after his death in 1909, the family promptly evicted Delacroix. He says, listen, mistress, get out of our estate.
Yeah, and they
gave the home back to King Albert I.
Okay.
Eventually, American architect Ogden Codman Jr., he got possession of the estate, and he turned it into 12 structures into the mansion we know today.
Whoa.
So it is a mansion.
12
on
structures?
It's 12 structure mansion. It's got a pool. It overlooks the ocean. They've got to have 50 yachts just hanging outside in the water waiting to go, because it depends on what kind of yachting you want to do that day.
That's true.
Number 9, Fairwater in Double Bay, Australia.
Okay. Ooh, Australia.
We talk about this. So mortgages.
Yeah.
$1 million house is not a crazy thing anymore. Which is ridiculous, because back when we were growing up, if you lived in $1 million house,
you were
a fat cat with your fancy suit, and it was all shiny, and you probably were in the mafia.
Shiny suit?
Your shiny double-breasted suit.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
But anyway, this house is located in Sydney's affluent Double Bay suburb, and it was built and designed in 1882 by architect John Herbury Hunt, and it was previously owned by an Australian political family. And then it's an arts and crafts home. Imagine like a big
arts and crafts home.
Cool, old, big house in Australia.
Is there a knitting room?
There's probably 10 knitting rooms. But just so you know, this house was a high society house for political people.
Okay.
But in whatever year this happened, software giant Mike Cannon Brooks bought the residence for $100 million.
Holy cow.
Just put that in perspective. If you were to take out a 30-year mortgage,
okay,
with current rates,
okay,
it would be $650,000 a month.
Holy
in your mortgage for 30 years.
Do you think he took out a mortgage?
He absolutely did.
No, he didn't.
Nobody buys a house with cash. Come on, that's an urban legend. Nobody's got that money. Yeah, he paid cash for it, or his business paid it. Number 8. Wittenhurst in London. Mm-hmm. This is Buckingham Palace number 2.
What?
Buckingham Palace. So did you know there's Buckingham Palace?
I know there's one, but
we're
going
to get to it. It's on this list.
Oh, is it higher up though?
But it's higher up.
Because number 2.
This is the getaway house. it's one of London's biggest royal residences. I don't even know if anybody lives here besides the servants, to be honest with you.
Oh.
But it was built in 1913 to 1920. It took 7 years to build. Let's just say your people are suffering. You're in World War I. Mm-hmm. Let's build a giant palace, second home for the royals.
You got to get away.
They got to get away from the war. It's scary war times. 25 bedrooms, big glass rotunda, sprawling ballroom, and then it was sold to a Russian businessman in 2008.
Oh,
so now a Russian guy owns it. The next one, you ready? The one in Bel Air, California. Have you seen this? Overlooks the ocean. Probably going to fall into the ocean one day.
Is that that, like the one that's Iron Man?
Yeah.
Iron Man one?
It is. I think it is the Iron Man one. So the Iron Man Mansion, it's one of the largest modern houses in America, measuring roughly 105,000 square feet.
Whoa.
It's a mega mansion. It's got 21 bedrooms. 21 bedrooms. Because what if you have a lot of kids? You're going to need a lot of bedrooms. What if you have a party and everybody gets drunk and they don't want to take Ubers home? Because let's say Uber's on strike. That happened. You need 21 bedrooms. It's got a juice bar. It's got a hair salon. It's got two turntables, probably a microphone, and there's 10,000 bottle wine cellar. So I don't know how much that house is.
Hold on. Wait a minute. You have a hair salon, but you only have 200 bottles of wine? Come on.
Yep.
Lock it up.
I know. The next one. You ready? Safra Mansion in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Okay.
Safra Mansion. This is hidden in the forest area of Sao Paulo. And this one Safra family built this giant estate, 117,000 square feet. 117,000 square feet, 130 rooms, plus an outdoor living area. Because when you're in Brazil, it's hot and you're going to go outside.
Oh, that'd be probably beautiful out there.
Yep.
yep.
That's it. I don't have much on that one. I don't know why that's on the list. The next one, let's get a U.S. one.
Oh.
The Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina. Anybody who's listening from North Carolina, let me know. I want to go stay in the Asheville Estate in North Carolina. It's America's largest house. And it was a brainchild of businessman George Vanderbilt. Remember the Vanderbilts?
I remember the Vanderbilts,
They spectacularly broke.
Yeah.
So
but they have a giant house.
And they got a giant house. They probably should have downsized. Mm-hmm. They go from this one to a little two-bedroom, one-bath. They have their money still.
There's houses for sale in Eagle Mountain.
There's Come houses on over, for sale Vanderbilts. Here. And this one that was built in 1889. It was 2nd century design and landscape leaders making this vision come to life. Richard Morse Hunt, who designed and built the home, and Frederick Law Olmsted. They designed the gardens and the grounds, 250-room French Renaissance chateau. Anyway, opened in 1885, and then the Vanderbilts are now broke.
Wait, so how do you still own a house if you're broke?
How do you still own a house?
Like, how is this still a Vanderbilt estate? Is it just named that?
It probably is. We got three more. You ready? Antilla in Mumbai, India. This is not a house. Mm-hmm. This is a skyscraper.
What?
27-story home owned by business magnate Mukesh Ambani. And it's estimated to be between $1 and $2 billion. So that's $650 million a month if you're taking out a 30-year mortgage.
He doesn't have a mortgage.
Or $6.5 million a month.
So instead of sprawling out like a lot of other mansions are, he went up.
He went up because he's in Dubai or Mumbai, which is crowded. It's super crowded.
So you just go up and have a ton of them. That actually would be pretty interesting.
He's got a 50-person movie theater in his house.
What?
50-person. And it will withstand extreme earthquakes by making each floor the same height as the 2-story building. So 2-story building and then boom, 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 boom. They put it up and did all these special struts so it can withstand earthquakes.
That's cool.
Because you don't want that thing coming down.
No, right, you don't.
Two more. You ready?
Yeah.
Buckingham Palace. We talked about this. This is the OG. OG house for the
it's
king
not number
and queen.
One?
No, it's not. The US and UK, yeah, we got it. We do nice things, but we don't do it big like some of these other countries. You ready? Mm-hmm. Buckingham Palace, one of the most recognizable royal residences in the world. It's also one of the largest. Did you know it's a neoclassical stunner?
Oh.
I didn't know that, but Time Magazine said it was.
Yeah.
It's the official residence of the monarch since 1837.
Whoa.
And it's a resounding 775 rooms.
Jeez.
Did you know the most famous room in the Buckingham Palace is the gilded white drawing room and the regal throne room. So if you ever go to Buckingham Palace, you say, I would like to see the gilded white drawing room, please. And they say, oh, he is classy. Right this way, sir. And then you have your tea with the king. And the king says, you're a pretty cool guy. He said, you're a pretty cool guy too, king.
And then you high five? Do you high five?
You don't high five.
Oh, what do you do?
You kneel and then he cuts your ears off or whatever with a sword. Number one.
Okay.
Istana Nurul Iman in Bandar Seri Begawan, Brunei. I got one of those words right. So Brunei is a country in Asia.
Okay.
It's actually a very wealthy country. Uh-huh. They have a lot of energy producing oil.
Is it?
They export oil.
Is it small?
It's an island country in Asia. One of the world's largest residential palaces, Istana Nurul Iman, serves as the official home of the Sultan of Brunei, his family, and dignified guests. You ready for this? So Filipino architect Leonardo Laksin mixed elements of both Malay and Islamic architecture to give the home like a palace kind of feel.
Uh-huh.
It's got the Taj Mahal thing on the top of it.
Oh.
It's got a real long... Looks like kind of one of those Hawaiian or Japanese roofs that are all swoopy.
Oh, yeah.
So it's extravagant palace. It's got 1,788 rooms, including air-conditioned stables for the Sultan's 200 polo ponies and a mosque that can accommodate 5,000 people. It's got a 110-car garage. I wanted just one more car garage.
Yes.
He's got a 110-car garage. And his ponies, not his regular horses. These are his polo horses. The ones that play sport. The other ones that are just running around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Forget those horses. We want sport horses. And we want them, all 200 of them. Mm. I don't know how many. That seems like a lot for polo. That seems like they're just running into each other.
You can only ride one horse at a time, though. Like, what's happening?
Maybe they're like golf clubs. You pick your pony based on what shot you have coming up. 200 of them, and they're air conditioned because it's hot in Brunei.
Yeah, of course.
Boom.
Wait, so his other horses aren't air conditioned? Do we know that?
We don't. It's just in the article. But it just said
specifically.
But 200 polo ponies. So I don't have one polo pony. Why are we talking about downsizing? I am missing out. Do you know how amazing it'd be to walk into your pony polo stables? It's all air conditioned, so it's nice and cool. You're hanging out, and you say, I'm taking you, Thunderstruck, and you go and you jump on Thunderstruck and you go to your polo game and you're winning because no one's going to beat the king of Brunei or the sultan of Brunei.
Mm-hmm.
So you're winning games. Your ponies are conditioned. They're nice and the right temperature. And you got a 110 car garage.
Yeah.
I love all of these things. Don't make me downsize anymore.
Forget about like living a human life. Let's go be a polo pony.
The polo ponies have a better life than me.
I'll
guarantee.
Just take a stable. That's all I want is just a single stable for
I will
myself.
Let the sultan jump on my back and I'll run around and he can hit the polo ball if I can have one of the sultan's stables. That's how good it is.
He has 200 of them. It's fine.
He does. Man, I pegged all the levels. I was really amped up on this one. Okay, so there you go. Those are some of those. I did 9. I think I did 9, not 10. Mm-hmm. Sorry. The 10th one is probably your house, folks.
Yeah.
Your house is on that list because you're not downsizing. but we're going to get into... So I did that on purpose because things can get so ridiculous. What are you going to do with 1,700 rooms? I know you're a king. Yeah, so it's you're not doing much with them.
What is happening?
Why? You have 200 polo ponies. Name them. Can you name them? No, you don't love those polo ponies.
That's right.
You can't do. That's why after you have 3 kids, you hate them all. You can have 1 kid, you'll love it to death.
What are you talking about?
2 kids, you're cool with it. Yeah. 3 kids, you're on the border. Once you have that 4th kid, you hate them all.
That's
probably
not true.
That sultan hates all those ponies. He probably doesn't even play polo anymore. Anyway, that's it.
Whoa.
So we're going to talk about...
You got real opinion.
I know. I'm angry today.
Yeah. It's the coffee.
It's the coffee. It's
the
good,
coffee.
Though.
It is good.
So, but we're going to talk about your brain. So why do we want 200 polo ponies and 110 cars?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It makes no sense to really want these things other than I'm going to collect all the rocks. I'm the penguin with all the rocks.
All the pony pot.
All the
pony
lady
rocks.
Penguins come look at me.
Yeah.
And my giant rocks. And they're going to say...
But even then, like if it is truly a reproduction thing... How much reproduction are you doing? How many ponies do you need to get the lady to go, ooh?
Yeah, at some point, if you have all the lady penguins,
yeah.
At some point you say, I'm sorry, lady penguins. I want some boy penguins now. Like, I'm tired of it.
This is too much.
This is too much. So I'm just saying,
yeah.
We got to think why you're doing all this stuff.
Yes.
But we do. I absolutely, if someone said, hey, here's a palace, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, of course you're going to say
of
yes.
Course. So we want these things.
Yeah.
You're going to tell us why we do and then how to switch our brain to
how to make it healthy.
Reframe it to make it healthy.
Because we're going against nature.
We're going against nature.
Yep.
We're going against picking up the rocks or the beads. All right, here we go with the science.
Okay, so here's the factors of what happens to your brain when you start to downsize. And then the action plan, I'm going to tell you how to make it healthy. So this is going to be a bit of a downer. Just
a downer?
Put it in.
It's good because mine was a way upper. Mine was super positive. So yours can be a downer.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so first off, when we're about to downsize, it is considered social defeat and embarrassment.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so the ACC, we talk about the ACC quite a bit.
So what's the ACC is the social part of the brain.
Yeah, so it's the interior.
It stops you from doing stupid stuff in public or else you get... ostracized.
Yeah, so it's in the anterior cingulate cortex, and it's where we have social distress. So if we're unsuccessful, that is social distress because we're not going to get our lady penguins.
Okay.
Okay. We also have other parts of the brain that are activated in this very specific social defeat. We have the ventrolateral prefrontal cortex, which is our motivation, our threat detection, and our fear. So if someone's trying to infringe on our territory, let's say, this is the part of the brain that's activated. And then we also have the amygdala, which is our fight, flight, freeze, starts to engage because we're like, oh gosh, all my stuff's getting taken away. All of my standing within social networks is being depleted. So we start freaking out. And then our decision-making section of our brain, the occipital areas, starts to freak out because we're worried about making these decisions.
So it is a survival kind of thing. We don't want all our food being taken away, mm-hmm. all our reproductive abilities to be taken away.
Yep.
So our rocks start getting taken away and we freak out.
Yes, okay. Exactly. So Even though we can rationally think about this, this is what gets activated. Now, it's also personal defeat. So we feel guilt, shame, and like we're losing a game.
Okay. Because life's a game.
Yeah, life's a game. But it's human nature to want bigger, faster, stronger. And the whole idea is the progression of our ability to reproduce and continue our genes moving forward. And the big issue that we have nowadays is that we're not aggressive with one another. So a long time ago, we are aggressive, but we aren't aggressive in this way. So like if you have a mate potentially, you're not going to fist fight and then whoever wins gets the mate.
We don't fist fight anymore? I'm fist fighting all the time.
What are you talking about?
I got in a fight with a guy over the jogger neighbor with the really beautiful dog. Mm-hmm. We both wanted that dog. We fought on the street.
That is a beautiful dog. Yeah. I think even Charles was like, oh,
yeah.
Like, I need to work out and do some sit-ups.
Yep.
So now, as in our society, we are registering this with our homes, our cars, and our clothing items.
So instead of being big and strong and fighting people.
Yes.
Or being the most pretty to reproduce, which still happens a little bit, I guess.
But
it's like, hey, I've got a really fancy car. I got a really big house. That's my muscle.
Yes.
This is my rock that I can kill you with.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the bigger, stronger one.
Yes, that's a very good way to put this. But these are false demonstrations. Because how many people actually own their home?
A few people.
Who owns their home?
I don't know.
Please email me at the Morning Struggle podcast.
The bank owns a lot of homes.
Yes, exactly. And so that means that it's not really yours. And I mean, it's a good thing to own your home and to work towards that. Don't get me wrong. But like if we're talking about actual demonstration, about actually owning things.
Like your car, your home, unless you're paying, have cash.
Yeah.
You know, and even then, was it your parents who gave you that cash?
Well, and riddle me this. Did you build your home? Did you get out a hammer? And whatever tools that also go with building a home.
So whoever, if you're out there and you built your home with your bare hands,
yes.
And you don't have a mortgage on it,
mm-hmm.
And you built your car with your bare hands,
mm-hmm.
And you have 200 polo ponies, email Jessie and just yell at her.
Just yell
Say,
at her.
I'm the strongest in the natures.
Yeah, but really though, that person who did that probably wouldn't have as much standing as the person with the house on the hill in our neighborhood.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, so it's a very bizarre. So human nature has really gotten into a weird thing because the demonstration of how strong we actually are is not accurate.
Okay.
At this point, it also downsizing emphasizes a situation. So usually when you're downsizing for a reason. So there's no avoiding it and there's no compartmentalizing it because you are living in the house that brought you, or you're living the home in which a situation brought you there.
So if you go from a really big house to a small house, mm-hmm. odds are you didn't do it because you wanted to be financially viable or retire, or you like lost a job, or you don't have as much money. Or
the budget's whatever. Different.
The budget's different. Something happened where you can't, society sees you as not being able to afford that bigger house.
Right. Well, and even with retirement, the studies found that even with retirement, if you downsize in retirement, you have to really wrap your head around this idea. Because let's say you were a judge,
uh-huh.
You know, because we're all judges.
Mm-hmm.
You're a judge, you live in your big house, you do all these different things. Downsizing into retirement, you have to really like lean into this retirement lifestyle and be like, no, this is what people do when they're retired, instead of just hanging on to your big house because you were a judge.
Because you had a bunch of rocks, a bunch of penguin rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're down with no penguin rocks and everybody's all judgy to you.
Yeah. So it's this really interesting piece of this where a situation brought you there. And so you're living in the space that brought you there.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So there's a constant reminder. It can deplete our ability to feel okay about ourselves.
We're talking about just houses?
We are not talking. I'm talking about houses, cars, and
anything outward facing.
Outward facing.
Okay.
Yes. Things that people see that we demonstrate in a social.
And they judge you on it.
Yeah. And then it's judged,
okay.
Right? Sentimental items. So the limbic system engages when we're sentimental. I know that you don't know what sentimental things are.
That's because I'm too logical.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the perfect being in logic.
That's right. But the idea of like you're, let's say you raised babies in that house.
Right.
Right.
You're going to be real attached to it.
Yep. And so your limbic system will sit there and fire and not want to rip away those sentimental pieces from you. And then last, it actually creates physical damage in your brain. So
whoa, so when you downsize your house, you're creating damage in your brain?
If you do it incorrectly, yes.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, good. So it's the posterior cingulate cortex, so the PCC. We talk a lot about the ACC.
There are so many parts of the brain.
PCC. The PCC. So the PCC is involved in spatial processing, action in space, some types of memory, it kind of depends, and that's heavily involved in both the narrative comprehension and then autobiographical processing.
Okay, so this gets damaged when you downsize?
Yes. So it's the same idea of, because your amygdala will fire, you have these heavy cortisol levels that stay stagnant, so they're chronic. The big thing with cortisol is that up and down that we've talked about.
Right, you want a variance of your cortisol. You want a lot of cortisol when the lion's chasing you, and you want no cortisol when you're dancing by the fire.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it goes up and down and up and down.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the thing. You are living in the space that constantly reminds you of the situation that brought you there.
Okay.
And so if you think of it as a negative thing, that is that narrative comprehension and autobiographical processing. You are have a constant reminder because you can't compartmentalize that. So your cortisol stays high. And the part of the brain that gets affected by this in this particular situation is that PCC. Now, it not only becomes damaged, it is a similar damage to a traumatic brain injury or a full-blown diagnosis of PTSD.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So I sell my giant house, move into a little house, because I said, I don't want to work till I'm 65,
uh-huh.
or I want to do a job that I enjoy.
Yes.
And it's the same as someone hitting you in the head with a baseball bat.
Yep.
No joke.
Yes, and that's the thing. I'm going to tell you how to make that exact situation successful.
Uh-huh.
But
wear a helmet. Just always wear a helmet.
Boom. That's it.
Yeah.
No, but really though, how to make it successful so that you don't have this type of damage, because it actually has an issue. Like you'll have coordination issues. You'll have nightmares. Like there are
So
big
I'm walking
pieces.
Around my tiny house. Everybody thinks I'm a loser and mm-hmm. I'm falling every time I go to the mailbox. Why would I downsize?
Well, that's
There's
what I'm
no
saying.
There's no reason to downsize.
That's what I'm saying is that your brain is not set up to downsize. Like our mechanisms at play as a human being really don't want us to. And that's why we chase these bigger houses and these, and we stretch ourselves incredibly thin and we try to work more hours and we try to get the bigger salaries, is because our brain is set up that way. So you are directly going against your brain on this, and you can be successful at it, but oftentimes you're not, because you're not set up if you're not thinking this through.
Okay. And you're going to tell us how to be successful.
Yes. Yeah.
I really like this one.
Yeah. It's a cool one.
Now I'm realizing, like, why am I falling down the stairs? Every morning I fall down the stairs in our little downsized house. The stairs aren't even that big. They're tiny little stairs.
They are tiny little
stairs. The stairs are downsized.
It's like two stairs.
Everything is downsized. And I am falling. Okay. I love it.
This is my science section. Okay. And like I said, it's a bit of a downer, but I'm going to tell you how we can avoid these things.
Yeah, this is great. This is not a downer at all. I'm excited because a lot of people say they want to downsize. Mm-hmm. I think it's because of the stress of upsizing.
Mm-hmm.
Like stretching yourself thin, giant houses, more responsibilities.
Well, and you'll chase that forever.
You're chasing the dragon mm-hmm. just all the time. And we don't want to do that. So we say, well, if I moved into a tiny little house, it'd be super fun. But you do, and then you're falling down the stairs, and your brain is damaged. You keep getting hit in the head with baseball bats. Ah, okay, mm-hmm. I like it. Here we go. Coffee segment,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll get into the action plan. You'll tell us how to not damage our brain when we buy a smaller house or worse car. Or how to be successful at this.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
I do need to say that we have our March raffle coming up, so I need you guys to email me at themorningstrugglepodcast@gmail.com. Get into that raffle.
Get in the raffle or sign up for the newsletter. Jesse does an amazing newsletter.
Oh, that's nice of you to say that.
It's so good. It's so good. I want everybody to read it.
And it does have information about like what we're talking about, but also extra information, things that we didn't necessarily talk about. Yep. But
click the link in the show notes. You'll get to sign up for the newsletter, or you can just go to the website and download them all.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to give your email because you're flooded with people emails, you know, all.
Yeah, that's fair.
We don't care.
Yeah.
But you can download them. They're free. They're awesome. They are beautiful. You did a good job.
Oh, thank you.
I'm really impressed. So get the newsletter, email Jesse, get in the raffle, win some hats, mm-hmm. win some merchandise. Mm-hmm. Let's say the Morning Struggle on it.
Yep.
And you can say, what's that? And be like, I'm a Morning Struggler. Good morning.
I call them early birds.
Oh, you do call them early birds.
Early birds.
Yeah.
Even though you don't have to wake up early.
You don't. You just got to wake up. You have to have enough runway.
Uh-huh.
You just can't be speeding through the morning.
That's right.
Got some time to drink your coffee or your tea or your soda pop, whatever you're into.
Soda pop?
Yeah. This is so long. I'm chatty this morning.
Does it
feel like I'm chatty?
It's okay. It's good.
It's because of this coffee. What are we drinking?
It's called Rough Weather.
Rough Weather Oatmeal Cream Pie. And this is part of the Bones Coffee Company.
Yes.
You bought 20,000 bags of Bones Coffee Company.
It's the whole Nightmare Before Christmas line.
It's a Disney Nightmare Before Christmas line of coffee.
Yeah. And so I naturally had to get all of them.
So on the newsletter, there's going to be a picture of this coffee bag.
It is. Yeah.
And I like it. So it's got Zero, the dog from Nightmare Before Christmas on it.
Uh-huh.
And it looks amazing. And it's a tiny little bag, so you don't have to drink it all the time. But I did. I started drinking and what did I say?
You said it was good till you told me it was flavored coffee.
I started drinking. I said,
it was genuinely good.
This is good coffee. What is this? And you said, it's oatmeal cream pie, Rough Weather Bones. And I went, oh, it's flavored coffee. And then I could taste the flavor.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, but it's good. So here's the thing. When I opened the bag, there was a lot of aroma going on.
A lot of aroma?
Holy cow. However, I would have never personally purchased this because oatmeal cream pie sounds disgusting to me.
It does. Nobody likes oatmeal.
Is it?
Except your great-grandmother
who
ate it during the Depression. Nobody likes oatmeal.
But I don't think I would have purchased this unless Zero was on the package.
I 100%. The packaging sells all these for me. But this one, it's actually pretty good.
This one's pretty good.
It's subtle. It's a subtle flavor. The other ones were punch in the face.
Yeah.
Too much flavor.
Or like the cranberry. Oof,
yeah. This one, though, oatmeal, this one is good.
This one is a good one. So maybe we're getting old, but what do you give it for aroma?
Ooh, because it's oatmeal. We are old. Aroma? I didn't. A four. Yeah.
Acidity.
A four.
I also gave it a four. Body.
Four.
Four.
And four.
And four. Oh my gosh, you just went down the board on
it's pretty
fours?
Good. It's a four kind of coffee.
It is a good coffee. So I actually really enjoy this one. This one I'll drink more of. Some of them were just like, oof, I can't do this anymore.
Okay. Well, go to the newsletter. Again, links in the show
you can
notes.
See the
it's
picture,
on our website.
And we have all the information there. And then check out Bones Coffee Company because they have a ton of licensed stuff.
Right. And we are not sponsored by Bones.
Oh, no.
Yet. Mm-hmm.
Unless they want to.
No, we don't do that.
We make sure we buy
our coffee so we don't feel obligated to say, oh, Rough Weather's really great. And then you don't get an honest review.
Yeah. So even though all of our coffees are about threes, there's a few that we are like, oh, those are not great.
Yeah.
Or these are really good.
Yeah.
This is one of the really good ones.
This is a good one. So go ahead. Rough Weather Oatmeal Cream Pie by Bones Coffee Company.
Yep.
Yeah. A four.
I'm for it.
Like this was a delight.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get a surprise. This is upsizing, though. This is not the cheapest of the coffees. This is no Costco coffee
That's
beans.
No Costco, but it's also no, like, organic.
Yeah, okay. All right. So it's middle of the road. This is a good middle of the road.
It's a good middle of the road. And I like the package, honestly.
And you love the package.
I love packages.
Okay. All right. Like Amazon? We're going to say, like Amazon packages.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get back into the action plan on downsizing. So you can tell us how, when we do choose to downsize, whether that's in retirement or we're moving to a new location, or just in our current area and we want more freedom.
Yep.
We decide we're going to downsize either our cars or our house or whatever outward facing thing.
Mm-hmm.
How to not make that damaging.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
Okay, so this is how I describe decision making in therapy.
Okay.
Okay, so you have a mama bear, or a daddy bear, a mama bear, and a baby bear in the back.
Okay, so like the Goldilocks.
Like the Goldilocks, okay. So it has nothing to do with Goldilocks. I just need three characters, a mama bear, a daddy bear, and a baby bear.
Okay.
Okay, so they're driving in a car, okay? There's an outside stimulus, whatever's happening. The daddy bear, who's the hippocampus, gives the initial information over to the prefrontal cortex, who's mama bear.
Okay.
And they are communicating back and forth. So the hippocampus is chatting it up and saying, oh, there is a
deer
in the road.
Okay.
And then the daddy bear tells the prefrontal cortex mom that what's going on. The prefrontal cortex says, give me more information. They go back and forth, right? So they're getting more information. Mama bear has prior information based on road conditions
previous,
or whatever.
Previous years, yeah. Previous times you drive. Okay.
And so the prefrontal cortex has this extra information. They go back and forth. They're making this decision. It's a very rational decision, right? It's taking information that's outside the windshield and going back and forth, back and forth. Once the prefrontal cortex or the mama bear feels like there's sufficient information, then the mama bear agrees and motivates to swerve whatever the things are.
Right.
Okay. The thing is that baby bear oftentimes is ignored, and baby bear is in the back, and that's emotion.
Oh, so your emotions are ignored.
The emotions
are
ignored.
So there's your logic. Just plugging away, and you're ignoring all your emotions. Because that baby bear in the back wants to jump out of the car and eat that deer. I get it.
That's not your...
This is a good analogy.
You're sideswiping my...
This is a good analogy. Metaphor.
This is good. So baby bear's in the back, and baby bear is feeling sick. Okay, you're making a decision. The swerving is going to make baby bear even more sick.
Right.
Okay. But we're trying to ignore baby bear because baby bear it's not really important to where we're driving.
Right.
Right. So the posterior cingulate cortex, that PCC, is what I think of as like the back seat of the car.
Okay. That makes sense.
The whole back seat. So the baby bear is uncomfortable, feeling sick, and you can ignore that for a while.
We've all ignored our kids.
Yes.
When they're in the back seat. 100%.
But at some point, you're going to have consequences for that.
Right.
And so eventually, baby bear is going to vomit all over the back seat, over the PCC, the posterior. And that is when you get some real damage, because not only are the emotions, because eventually the amygdala is going to hit. And that's where baby bear comes in and just vomits everywhere. You're going to have that fight, flight, freeze response, and it's going to sideswipe any logical decision that mama bear and daddy bear did.
You have that anxiety attack. You can't handle it. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know,
you freak out at everybody.
You freak out and
you run away.
You run away. You spend all your money. You mm-hmm. pull the trigger on a bigger house again, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if baby bear vomits in the back of the PCC there in the back of the car, it's going to have real damage. Your seat is never going to smell the same.
Right.
Right. And that's where you get that posterior cingulate cortex damage that resembles a traumatic head injury.
Okay, makes sense.
Does all this make sense?
I like it. I like the analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to make sure that if we're making logical decisions like budget, like we're going to downsize in our home, okay, that mama bear and daddy bear are having this conversation, and it's good. That's a very good thing. But we need to make sure that we acknowledge all the emotions so that we don't have long-term brain damage.
Okay. So we just acknowledge that baby bear is sick in the back.
Yeah. Acknowledge, like, be like, maybe you have to, like, pull the car over for a second and let him yak on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. Who's to say what needs to happen? Maybe there needs to be coping, but there's at least attention being made so that we're not having these big explosive pieces that have long-term consequences.
So instead of pretending that when you downsize, you are fine with it,
mm-hmm.
talk about how you feel like a failure.
Yeah.
How you feel like the whole world is judging you. All those
emotions.
That
you're embarrassed about where you live. Things
okay.
like that.
All right. That makes sense.
Okay. So here are the steps to make this happen. So you need to know why. You need to know why you're doing what you're doing, and you're going to try to focus on the positive. So let's say you have a job loss, your retirement, budget. You have a different goal, okay? Because if we're downsizing, there's a different goal in mind. And so, but we need to know why. So it could be a job loss, which is very distressing.
Yeah.
Right? But think about what's the next stage? What's the next job you have? Is the salary might be significantly different. The schedule might be completely different. But what positives come out of that, even if you have to downsize in order to make it work?
Right.
Right. And so we need to know why, and it helps to write it down. We've talked about this with pencils.
Yeah.
In particular.
I did this recently. Write it down with a pencil, and man, it just, you conceptualize the whole picture.
Yeah, because you're visualizing it. It's like a painting.
Yep.
You can look at it, and that way you can see what's going on. So know why, write it down, and have a good, solid understanding of the positives, the things that you're going to get out of it.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the first step. Second, you need a buddy in this process. And there's a couple reasons for this. It reduces social stigma because you have expressed, you have a group, you have a social group that you're doing this with, even if it's just one buddy, like you've determined that this is your confidant, right? That you guys are going to do this together, or at least they are aware of what you're doing. And so
and they're giving you approval.
They're giving you approval of it.
Yeah.
And that reduces the engagement of the ACC. So that social distress that we have, it buffers it actually quite significantly, especially if you're close with this person. You can reduce it to not completely eliminate. It's you're still going to have these brain reactions, but you're definitely going to buffer it so it doesn't have the bigger damage that it would have without your buddy.
Makes sense.
right? Okay, third, don't ignore the issues throughout the process. Okay, so know the reality of it. So when we downsized, for example, we had a lot less room. We had a lot less storage. Mm-hmm. And that was just the reality of the situation.
We had to buy different cars because they didn't fit in the garage.
And so, yes, you're buying a new car, whatever the things are. Yes, you have to. But the reality of it.
It was downsized. My big truck went away.
Yeah.
And that I identified with that truck.
Yeah. But really, though.
Yeah.
Like, now you have a. What were people saying that you could put your purse in the back of the truck?
I got a mini truck.
It's not a mini truck. It's a shorter bed.
It's a short, tiny little truck. It's a tiny little truck.
It still pulls all the stuff we need, just a little bigger than the K trucks. Those guys are expensive.
That's not a downsize. That's an upgrade.
Even though they're tinier. Yeah.
But I get it.
But you don't ignore the fact that these issues are coming up. And that's where we have our buddy to be like, I miss my big truck.
Right?
It's okay to say that.
It's okay to say to your partner. But your partner has to not feel guilty about the downsize either. Okay.
And that's the other side of that where it's like, oh gosh, I'm sorry that you had to get rid of your truck. Like, it's all my fault. If I wouldn't have downsized this, we can't get into that.
But that other person probably needs to just talk about what they're missing too.
Yeah, exactly.
So say, yeah, I lost my job. We had to downsize. Mm-hmm. Or we want to retire in our 40s or 50s. Mm-hmm. We're going to downsize. And the person says, I miss my big walk-in closet.
Yeah.
Or having my own bathroom or whatever. And you say,
yeah,
I miss our patio. Yeah. I miss the view over whatever it is.
Yes.
And then you're both missing some things. And then you can get back into the second step, which is looking at what you are wanting and why you're doing it.
Yeah, that first one, the why.
The first one.
So you can be like, yeah,
But you can't ignore or get guilty or shame when those emotions come up. Okay.
Yeah, it's just the reality of it.
Right.
We just need to have a very reality conversation with it, including the sentimental pieces. That's a good point because like I miss looking over the lake, for example.
Yeah, we live
right?
on the lake. It was nice.
So I miss the lake. We have to be honest about that was a sentimental piece for me. Now, the lake was very inconvenient.
Yeah,
in many ways.
There were so many bugs and snakes, and you could not go outside.
There was so
after
many snakes.
The sun started going down. But it was so beautiful.
It was so beautiful.
Look how beautiful this water is.
Right, but that's the thing. That's the reality of it. So there was still emotional connection there. There was still a sentimental piece of that. But yeah, but the snakes are probably they would even rise up.
Oh, do you like cobras.
Yeah, like cobras. They were
Mini
so
cobras.
Cute.
Oh my gosh,
they
you
were
and
so
your snakes.
Cute. But you can write down those sentimental pieces. You can take pictures of those sentimental pieces. You can just be honest and tell people all of the cool things without bringing in the embarrassment or shame or guilt or that kind of thing.
Okay.
It's just a reality of it. It's just what it actually is. So again, we don't want to ignore those things. We want to be able to have a buddy and do it that way.
Because if we ignore them, are odds higher that we're just going to go get it again?
Or stretch ourselves to get it again? I mean, you could stretch yourself to go get it again. You could do that. It also just strains all your relationships.
Either way, it's devastating.
And then you have cortisol levels that are high, and then you still get the PCC damage.
Makes sense.
So it just is what it is. Okay, and then the last one is this social defeat and embarrassment. We need to address this directly. So this is where this self-acceptance and understanding comes from. And it's all these other steps kind of put together. But we need to understand that our worth is not our things. And so it's hard to not do that. It's hard not to identify with our clothes or our car or this kind of thing. But it's definitely this self-work that a lot of times we don't want to do because you really have to look at yourself in reality and all the things that you really are. And so, but this self-acceptance to be like, no, I'm okay. Where I'm at is a good thing. I am bringing good things to this space.
So how do you do that?
So, it's all the things we
talked
about.
Listen to the other podcasts.
Yeah. So it's getting a therapist. It's having regular social engagements.
Meditation.
Journaling,
all this stuff.
All the things to self-improve, to self-cope. And then you actually, when you start improving in that way, you don't need as many objects.
Oh, okay. So actionable item, you can go listen to the other podcasts, the ones on meditation or journaling.
Yeah, just all the self-improvement things.
All the self-improvement ones.
Mm-hmm.
And you do those things and it's like cleaning your house or putting an addition on your house or buying a bigger car. Mm-hmm. You're improving yourself.
You're getting self-acceptance, which reduces all of this issue with downsizing.
Okay. So you got to go be the best version of you and that will make downsizing. And then you'll be that person who goes from the mansion to the little small two bedroom thing, mm-hmm. and you are super happy. And everybody says, they figured it out. I don't need my mansion. Mm-hmm. And then they try to downsize and they're fighting with each other. And next thing you know, they're back in a mansion just as miserable.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Because it's an actual internal self-improvement.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the thing. So you don't need to sell your mansion if you like your mansion, though.
You don't have to. Yeah. But if you're stretching yourself thin, that's probably not.
That's true. Okay. That's what it's more about.
Yeah. So maybe, because I mean, having a mansion is all perspective. Maybe that's just what you would be in because based on your financial level and you work three hours a week.
Or where you live or whatever it is.
Who's
everything is relative.
Because okay, our house, which is pretty tiny, is huge if you're in San Francisco.
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, it's all relative.
Our little tiny house on our little tiny lot, mm-hmm. if you were to pick that up and throw it in San Francisco, mm-hmm. boom, you have yourself its own mansion.
Yeah. Okay. Its own mansion.
All right. That makes sense.
So it's all perspective. But what I'm saying is if you are stretched thin, if you are making that decision to downsize for whatever reason, job loss, retirement, budget, whatever the things are, you can do this in a very successful way, even though there's going to be a tinge of social defeat. Okay. So the steps to this, again, know your why.
Know a why.
Have a buddy.
Find a buddy. Have a buddy.
Yep. Reality, just the reality.
Talk to your buddy about the reality of the situation,
including sentimental pieces.
Okay,
because those don't always line up rationally as well as we want them to.
Okay,
and then self-acceptance and improvement,
and then improve yourself and stop improving, trying to improve your environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's four steps.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I have to do this one because every once in a while, we go look at giant houses.
Yep. And we're like, oh, we could have this giant windows.
Yeah. Oh, but you know what? I like our little tiny house.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And it affords us a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of experiences that we wouldn't get otherwise.
Yes.
Oh, man. All of these require work. Why do all these require work?
You know what this podcast is, right?
It's the Working Podcast. We should change the name.
The Working Podcast. The
work your butt off. And then be happy.
And self-improve. Yeah.
All right.
It's so good.
Fine. No, I'm just in a pessimistic mood this morning. Maybe we should do one on how to make me not cranky. not cranky podcast.
We have a Negative Nelly. We'll have you listen to that one.
Oh, listen to the Negative Nelly one again. Okay. All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining. I do like this one. And trust me, downsizing far outweighs trying to upsize.
Yes.
Man, there have been so many amazing experiences we get because we decided to downsize.
Yeah.
But we struggle. We struggle with
like
all these things.
Else.
It's impressive and big struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Like gonna burn down the world or take all the money that we've saved and blow it in Vegas kind of style. So be careful.
Yeah,
when
because
you downsize.
That's your brain just reacting to the situation.
All right. That makes more sense why we're doing what we're doing. Yep. All right, we're gonna do this one. We're gonna get better
at
it.
This is a good one.
And we're gonna be more balanced.
Yep.
So hopefully you do that too. Let us know. And as always, go out there and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.